listening to the Caffeinated Thoughts Podcast. Hi, this is Shane Vanderhart. Happy Friday. It's been a busy week. We had a government shutdown for about 8 hours. Most of us slept through it, but we have a budget bill now that was passed. I would like to talk about that, but I haven't actually read the bill. And contrary to popular belief, I'd like to have somewhat of an informed opinion before I just spout off. So I'll probably deal with that in a later podcast, or perhaps in an article at caffeinatedthoughts.com if I have time. You know, it's not like I don't have other things going on, but I will try. Today, I wanted you to put yourself in these particular shoes. There was an article you saw in your local newspaper, be it the Des Moines Register or wherever you happen to be listening to this podcast, and it caused you to want, you know, like you thought, I just have to respond to this. So you write an article, it's published. It's published in print format, and then it's published online. And the next day, your boss calls you into his office or her office and lets you go. That happened to today's guest. Anna Bergman's a Waukee City Council member, and until this week was an attorney with the Iowa Association of School Boards. She wrote a piece in the Des Moines Register in response to an article she saw, or an op-ed piece she saw written by Claire Chelsea, who's running for Iowa Senate for State Senator Matt McCoy's seat. He's a state senator from Des Moines, a Democrat, who decided not to run for re-election, instead to run for Polk County Supervisors. So that's going to, the Democratic primary is going to be incredibly competitive, probably more competitive than actually the general election in that particular Senate district, unfortunately. But Anna Bergman saw that, and she felt like she needed to respond. So I want to read her op-ed, just because, you can also have a link to it online on our podcast, but here it is. It's entitled, it was first published on January 31st and then updated on February 8th. It's entitled, Iowans Are Not Buying Democrats' Hyperbole. It starts off saying, and this is the Des Moines Register, Iowa Democrats need to cut out the hyperbole because Iowans are not buying it. I respect Claire Chelsea's strong opinions about Iowa politics. Hopefully I'm pronouncing Claire Chelsea's name right, but if not, please forgive me. It goes on, but I'm going to respectfully disagree with the premise that Iowa is in bad shape. In fact, Iowans I talk to think that our state is in great shape and getting better every day. Here are just a few examples. Our unemployment rate is at a historic low. Several independent studies have come out showing Iowa is not only a well-run state, but the most affordable for middle-class families and a top state to retire. There's also a left-leaning study that showed Iowa is bucking a national trend by spending more money on K-12 education. On top of that, Iowa is also leading the country in high school graduation rates and dual-enrolled students. Dual-enrolled means both high school and community college. I also see that Governor Reynolds is a true Iowan, or I see Governor Reynolds as a true Iowan, and someone with a good heart. I respect her willingness to bring people together and do what's best for Iowa, and I especially want to give her credit for addressing an important issue to Iowa women everywhere, and that's sexual harassment. During her condition of the state address, the governor took a bold stance on sexual harassment issues that have plagued the Iowa State Senate. When she talks about this issue, she doesn't try to make it about politics, and she's right to avoid doing so. But let's be honest, when it comes to sexual harassment, there's wrongdoing occurring on both sides of the political spectrum. As for education, even with a tight budget, we're spending more on K-12 education than at any point in our state's history. But let's focus on more than just the dollar amount. Governor Reynolds has made a STEM education and workforce training has made STEM education and workforce training high priorities. That's because she's fought her entire life to better herself, raise a family, work, and still get a college degree. This experience has made her an advocate for people and families. She wants to create opportunities so all Iowans can be successful. I look forward to seeing more from the governor in these areas, because if she's successful, I believe Iowa will be too. And the bio at the bottom says, Anna Bergman is a Waukee councilwoman, an attorney with the Iowa Association of School Boards, and a small business owner in Waukee. Her views do not necessarily reflect those of the IASB, which she obviously learned. In fairness, I want to read the statement that her boss, ISB Executive Director Lisa Bartosek, and again, forgive me if I'm butchering her name, she sent a statement to WHO-TV, who first aired this story yesterday. It says, the Iowa Association of School Boards has an unwavering commitment to represent the views of its members in a nonpartisan way that is respectful of both political parties and does not engage in endorsements of candidates in either party. I determined that there was a conflict in the organization's need to work in an absolutely nonpartisan manner, and very public statements made without authorization while identifying herself as an IASB employee conflicted with the organization's objectives. I informed Ms. Bergman yesterday that I felt it served the organization best that we sever employment. Ms. Bergman has the absolute right to publicly express her partisan political views and respect her passion and commitment to her political party. I wish her well in her future endeavors. So before we get to my conversation with Anna Bergman, first, a few words from our sponsors.
At American Principles Project, we believe that human dignity should be at the heart of public policy. We work in all 50 states and in Washington, D.C. to promote life, religious freedom, local control over education, authentic economic progress for working Americans, and a return to constitutional principles such as federalism. Want to help American Principles Project? Visit our website today, AmericanPrinciplesProject.org. That's AmericanPrinciples, P-L-E-S, Project.org. Sign up for email updates. Help us out. We want to work with you. That's AmericanPrinciplesProject.org.
Hi, this is Brian Myers. When I needed a better life insurance plan, I found it with Travis Riswold of Modern Woodmen of America. When I first met Travis, he wasn't like some other life insurance agents that can be pushy and try to get you to buy something. Travis just made himself available to me. That was it. He told me to let him know if and when I needed anything, and he stayed in touch. When the day came and I did need to make some changes with my life insurance, Travis met with me and walked me through several options so I could make an informed decision. Ultimately, it was the best decision for my situation. So if you need a life insurance plan that makes sense for you, call my friend Travis Riswold with Modern Woodmen. His number is 515-883-0029. That's Travis Riswold with Modern Woodmen. He can help you find the life insurance you need. Call him at 515-883-0029.
And we are back. Without further ado, here's a conversation I had with Anna Bergman this afternoon. So, hey, thanks for talking to us today, Anna. First of all, I just wanted to ask you a little bit about your background. You are a Waukee City Council member. How long have you been doing that?
Yes, I was appointed in the summer of 2016 to the Waukee City Council and then was just reelected in November of this last year.
Okay, so you were appointed, so you were just somebody resigned midterm?
Yep, that's correct. Yeah, they resigned with about a year and a half left in their term.
Okay, so what led you to want to, you know, go into public service?
Well, I always had an interest in public service, and just, you know, my original thought was to get through graduate school and through law school and, you know, get on my feet for a couple of years and then, you know, start to look at some opportunities that may be available. And I graduated law school and graduate school, and then this appointment came up shortly thereafter, and I grew up in Waukee, you know, have a strong passion for the community, and thought it would be a great way to get involved in local government and, you know, really get my hands on, you know, the amount of work and the things that are involved in serving in city government. And so far it's really a good time to be involved in Waukee. So it's been pretty phenomenal so far.
Oh, definitely. So you've been doing that, and then you joined the Iowa Association of School Boards back in October, I remember reading.
Yes. Yeah, okay. That's correct.
All right, so, and you were an attorney with them. What all did that entail?
Yeah, so I was an attorney. My title there was Director of Legal and Policy Services. So I was helping with a sample policy manual for districts. And so part of my, a huge part of my role was making sure those policies are up to date, you know, with current legal requirements, and, you know, current advice on best practices, and then helping schools either implement those policies into their own policy manual, or helping boards understand, you know, why it's important to have good policies and practices in place. And then the other side of that was providing them, you know, general legal information when they need help with open meetings law, open records law, when they were going through, you know, superintendent evaluations or things like that. So I worked very closely with our board development team. They're just, you know, just really phenomenal and brilliant people there that help, you know, just help school board members navigate some of the issues that they face on a daily basis.
Okay, and when you were hired, before you were hired, I mean, you were, beyond running for city council, were you involved politically anywhere else?
So I was, at the time, I was a member of the Central Committee, the Dallas County Republican Central Committee. So I was I was involved with that group. And then I was, my political involvement was really at the city level still at that point.
Okay, so and the Iowa Association of School Boards knew this prior to you being hired?
Part of what happened when I was hired is they did a very thorough reference check, and the response, you know, one theme that she brought up was that a lot of my references said that I was politically motivated, which is absolutely true. I'm interested in politics, and, you know, I was an elected official, and I just have an interest in it, and I always, you know, keep my eye on what's going on, you know, at the city level, county level, state, and federal. So that's absolutely true, and we talked about how it would be an asset, you know, because I can identify with school board members that are also elected officials that are trying to balance that aspect of their lives with what they're doing as professionals. So I really, it was seen as an asset in a way for me to help, you know, relate to some of the issues they go through.
Okay. So prior to the op-ed you wrote this week in the Des Moines Register, had you written any other op-eds before?
No, I hadn't written any op-eds for the Register. On my personal Facebook page, I do occasionally post something that is partisan or something that is political. Okay. But this is the first op-ed I did for the Register.
Okay, so when you were hired, did they explain to you, hey, we're a nonpartisan organization, we expect, you know, our employees not to engage in partisan activities, not to, you know, write op-eds, things like that?
No, that conversation never happened.
And they never, that was never anything in like an expectations guidelines or anything, any policy that you had to sign?
No, the policy that I signed was a conflict of interest. Beyond that, the only conversation we had about being political was that the organization itself is nonpartisan. And, you know, for me, that's hardly any different than any other employer that I would work for. You know, very few employers actually take a firmly partisan stance. So that wasn't, you know, anything that I didn't expect.
Yeah, right. So, and I guess your partisan activity didn't impact your job performance as you saw it.
I don't believe that it did. That was never communicated to me until obviously this weekend with the op-ed.
Sure. So okay, you saw Claire Chelsea's op-ed in the Des Moines Register, and what prompted you? It's like, I've got to write a response. I mean, you know. You probably see, I know I see infuriating opinion pieces and guest columnists and then Rekha Basu and even the editorial board. It's like, I mean, I'd be responding all the time. You know, what was it about this particular op-ed that made you think, I've got to write a response to that?
Yeah, so I read the op-ed, and really, you know, for me, it was just, I thought, you know, maybe there are just some articles or some information that this person just hasn't read yet, you know. And I thought, well, you know, there are a lot of good things that Governor Reynolds is doing. I mean, there are a lot of really strong fiscal policies and decisions that she's making that really are greatly benefiting our state right now. And I thought, well, you know, at least we can agree to disagree. I mean, reasonable minds can differ. So I thought, you know, at least I will respond, you know, respecting the fact that she had, you know, that she herself, you know, had that political opinion, because that in and of itself, you know, you have to really, you know what you believe in to be able to post something publicly like that.
Right.
So I respect the fact that she took the time to do that. And I was only, you know, trying to really have a cordial conversation about it. And so I linked my article to USA Today, Department of Education, sources that I really felt, you know, she may understand, could offer some additional facts for her.
Okay. So I read the your op-ed, and I have to say it was rather tame. I thought it was, you know, well written, and I was actually surprised to learn that you know, afterwards you were fired from your position, because I, like you, I've been a member of I've been on staff of a youth ministry that was nonpartisan, and we had Democrats and Republicans involved, but I started writing Caffeinated Thoughts in the midst of that, but I kept the two things separate. So what was it that you heard, you know, from you know, your supervisor when you came in, I guess the next day or whenever this happened after you're writing this? What did they tell you?
Yeah, the biggest thing that I heard, you know, I sat down, I was given a printed copy of the op-ed when I went to print on Wednesday, and then told that that she believed I was no longer could maintain professional credibility in my role, and I'm like you, I was surprised by that, because I thought, you know, my goal simply was to have you know, a respectful way to share my opinion and respond to somebody else's
right
opinion, you know, and that's it. That was my goal.
Yeah, I was kind of, you know, it's interesting that she said you lost credibility, because it's not like you were lobbying, right?
Right. Yeah. Okay. No, I'm not a lobbyist.
Yeah. Sure. I mean, I could kind of see it if you were lobbying, but with what your role was, the Iowa Association of School Boards, I wouldn't, you know, if you're just advising on policy and creating you know, model policies for school boards to possibly use, I mean, I don't see how that would impact. But also, too, you know, I was a little surprised that they didn't at least give you a warning.
Agreed. Yes, I was surprised by that, too.
Yeah, it seems kind of harsh, you know, on a first defense, supposedly, especially when you don't have a policy that you sign.
Right. Yeah, the only thing I was told, and my boss is out of town when this article was posted online. She had left her out of town the next day, and she had made comments that she was getting negative feedback, but she didn't think, you know, didn't think it was a big deal. And you know that, you know, as well as anyone else, when you post a political opinion, you expect,
right,
you expect that someone may disagree, and that's okay. That's part of what makes, you know, our political system great, is that we get thoughts from different people, and we use them to grow ourselves and to better, you know, the work that we're doing for our community. That's important, you know. And so for me, you know, I wasn't surprised that there were people that maybe disagreed or, you know, had a different opinion. So that wasn't alarming to me. And frankly, that was the conversation.
So probably not only was she reading probably some negative feedback, but there was probably some pressure put to bear to let you go, you think?
I don't know. I honestly can't speak to that, because
okay,
that wasn't communicated to me.
Well, what kind of response have you gotten after this? Because I know you interviewed with WHO TV. After your story aired, what kind of feedback you've been getting from friends, families, and people in your community?
Yeah, for the most part, I would say for the most part, people are just surprised at what happened, and their reaction isn't any different than yours. That they went back and, you know, reread the article, and tried to find, you know, where someone could interpret that I was being disrespectful or inflammatory, or offensive to someone. And I can't find it, and I haven't found anybody else that feels that way. And especially after I was able to share, you know, what happened to me last night, I think I've gotten far more response in the positive.
So as far as your bio, the Des Moines Register ran, did they tell you they were going to identify you as an attorney with the Iowa Association of School Boards?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, and that and at the time, it's public, you know, it was in my bio as a city councilwoman that I was the attorney for the Iowa Association of School Boards. It was listed, you know, on my social media accounts that was my job. So it was, you know, really was already public. And so for me, from my perspective, I thought, well, that's, for lack of intents and purposes, that's already public information.
Right.
You know, so anybody that does a Google search on my name is going to find that out.
Right. Well, and then you include the disclaimer, you know, my views don't necessarily reflect the views of Iowa Association of School Boards. And obviously that wasn't the case.
Right.
Particular op-ed. So what next steps for you now? Now this has happened, are you going to seek legal recourse?
You know, I'm still, we're still just trying to look into, trying to figure out what happened.
Sure.
We're in that phase right now. And I don't know how long that's going to take. I don't know, you know, what we need to do to get there, but that's where we are right now. And for me, I'm trying to move forward. You know, I think that there has to be a way for conservative Republican women to have a voice and not be treated like this in response. There has to be the same level of respect given across the aisle, right, to both sides. And for me right now, I guess that's something I'm going to move forward and work on. I'm going to try to get that same level of respect for anyone that has a political opinion, regardless of what it is. So that's my focus right now. I think it's important. I lost my job because of defending Governor Reynolds and my own principles. It doesn't make sense to me, but, you know, it's not something, you know, if that's going to happen, I'm going to continue to stand up because there's no reason that anybody should be put in that position. And there's no reason for me to back down now.
Right. So you're considering a run for future office here, because your state representative is not running for re-election, Rob Taylor in House District 44. You going to run for a seat?
You know, it's absolutely something I am considering. That's for sure. And it's something, you know, higher office in general is always something I have on my radar, just because I am interested in it and I love serving my community. So it isn't something, you know, that I was shocked to hear, you know, that there may be an opportunity, because I try to stay involved and I try to know what's going on. And so it's something that, you know, it's a consideration of mine to take in. And if it's feasible, you know, for the next chapter in my life, you know, given that I just had a substantial change in my life, you know, if it's something that I can do, then I would love to do it.
Okay, Anna, well, if you decide to run, I'll have you back on to talk about your candidacy and what your positions. But I promise I keep this to 15 minutes. I want to honor that. So thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, Shane.
And God bless you in whatever comes next.
Thank you. You as well.
All right, take care. Bye.
Yeah, bye.
I appreciate Anna coming on and sharing her story. I've been thinking about this story ever since I saw a break yesterday. And, you know, Iowa is a right-to-work state. Employers have, it's at-will employment, so they could really fire you for any reason. However, it gives me pause that an organization such as Iowa Association of School Boards would do so for an employee who, up until this point, had never written anything like that. She had an active social media presence, but had not written an op-ed. That there wasn't any kind of warning, there was, especially since there wasn't stated policy. I totally believe you can be engaged in partisan politics and still be effective in a nonpartisan organization if everybody understands that your life is segmented. I worked for an organization for 10 years called Serve Our Youth Network. 4 years into that, I started Caffeinated Thoughts. It didn't initially start off as a political blog, but it morphed into a political blog. And there were, in our organization, even though it was a Christian-based organization, it was pretty ecumenical. We had Catholics, we had mainline Protestants, we had evangelicals involved. We had people in who were registered Democrats on staff as well as on our board. We had people who were registered Republicans, independents, and that made up also our our volunteers were an eclectic group that way. On the job, when I came to work, it didn't matter that at the time I was registered Republican, now I'm independent. That didn't matter. That was not my focus. As long as it didn't impact me from doing my job, which it didn't. There were times where I wanted to cover an event and I had to take some time off. But, you know, I didn't. The only time I ever talked politics at work is if I were asked a question because somebody wanted to know. I never initiated those kinds of conversations because I wanted to keep it separate from my work. I have to believe Anna Bergman's the same. I think most people are that way when they go to work. Now, the fact that she was identified as an attorney with the Iowa Association of School Boards in her op-ed, that was for identification purposes. I think the disclaimer made it very clear that her views don't necessarily reflect the views of Iowa Association of School Boards. I tried in my own role not to have Serve Our Youth Network identified in my bio. I think there were a couple times where it was in an instance where it wasn't necessarily a partisan piece. For instance, I wrote a couple op-eds on mentoring, for instance, where it would totally make sense for me to identify myself from Serve Our Youth Network. But it's possible, and I think if we live in a civil society, that people should be able to be engaged in political activity in their private lives, and people understand that's not going to impact the job they do at work. So, again, this is disappointing. Do they have the right to do it? Probably. She probably doesn't have much legal recourse available to her, as I understand it. As I got some pushback on Twitter when I was tweeting about this, and I started looking into it. But I think it's in poor practice for an employer. It seems like they're making up policy as they go. If this is an important principle for them, for their employees, that's something they need to state up front and have their employees sign. Because that's, I think, the fair thing to do, not just retroactively say, oh, yeah, we don't want you writing stuff like that, and by the way, you're fired. So anyway, all the best to Anna Bergman. Thank you so much for listening. If you happen to be listening to this podcast somewhere other than on caffeinatedthoughts.com, be sure to check out our website, caffeinatedthoughts.com. That's caffeinatedthoughts.com. You can also Google Caffeinated Thoughts, and it'll show up at the top of your search screen. Hey, be sure to also follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and sign up for our emails updates that come out daily so you don't miss a single update. This is Shane Vanderhart, and until next week, my friends, take care.